segment number three in the 10 o'clock hour. This is where we try and cover our weekly to-do, something that we implemented with our home maintenance calendar. And the reason we don't execute it sometimes is, you know, sometimes it's just hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And this is, sometimes we blow right through it, we get done, and we're like, oh, we forgot our weekly to-do. If you're following our home maintenance calendar and you look, it says surviving the cold, which I think if I would have read it, I probably would have phased it a little different. So I'm like, come on, how can you put surviving the cold in an Arizona book? You ask my wife, Amanda, and anything below 72, you're surviving the cold. I'm sure you've got this pretty down packed, but give us your quick elevator speech on the biannual services.
The if you have gas heat, you should absolutely have your system looked at once a year, at least. For the heating, for sure. Air conditioning is always a good idea because that just takes a beating, you know. But the gas heat, especially here in Arizona where we don't use it that much, it's really important to keep an eye on stuff because things that you don't take care of, you know, end up, you know, needing care. So anyway, we go out and we do the leak check and we do make sure everything's tight, make sure all the safeties work, you know, all the things that you're supposed to do to make sure that you're not going to, you know, be cold or not wake up. The not waking up part is kind of important.
Yeah. The oil industry has done a very good job of training us to all change our vehicle oil every 3,000 miles. Mm-hmm. I still remember Valvoline commercials back to, you know, from you know, as far back as my memory goes, Valvoline, Pennzoil, always back and forth. Oh, yeah. And our air conditioning units, our HVAC equipment, works 10 times harder than our vehicles, unless you're a truck driver or an Uber driver, somebody driving constantly. You just, I mean, they're constantly working whether you're home or not home. You know, your vehicle's only working when you're in it. And we take much better care because we haven't had that constant brain-bashing branding to get this done.
Exactly. And on your furnaces, a lot of times we turn them off during the day. You know, we're very conscious of saving money with electricity and stuff now. So with a heat pump, you know, and a heat pump does not recover quickly. So when you turn off the heat pump during the day to save electricity while you're at work, then you come home and you turn it back on after 8 o'clock, it's got a lot of catching up to do. And if you leave it, and then at 10 o'clock at night, if you turn it down so you can sleep, and you turn it back on at 5 in the morning, it's got a lot of work to do. It runs very hard doing that. So it's pretty important to keep an eye on it. Your gas heat is much more intense, a much higher air temperature in there. So when your gas turns on, you've gone from, call it 60 degrees in your furnace to in your attic, in your ductwork and stuff, and then you're running 140-degree, 130-degree air out of it. So you're taking a pretty rapid change up there, and that is stress on the machinery. It expands and contracts the metal, and you know, as you know, metal has a finite number of times it'll expand and contract, and then things break, and that's when some guy like me comes in and goes, "Oh, hey, look, this is broke. We need to fix this." And people appreciate that.
And people moving here from other parts of the country where they don't have heat packs and it's all gas or oil based. Often calling, "Hey, my heater's not working." Well, no, it is. That's just how hot.
This is just how heat pumps work. That's exactly right. That's how heat pumps work. So
cold, dreary mornings, a little bit of dampness. It's my heat pump's not working. No, just wait a couple hours, let the sun come out.
Exactly.
Catch up.
That lukewarm air you're getting out there is warm. It doesn't feel like it, but it is actually warm. So yeah, there you go. So that's the story with heat pumps and gas heat and things. And getting a check once a year on your furnace and once a year on your air conditioner. It sounds so self-serving for an AC guy to say that, but it's absolutely true. And it's just like you check the oil in your car, you check the brakes in your car. And we all know that if you don't check the brakes in your car, but you drive the car all the time, they get worse and worse and worse. And if somebody else drives your car, they go, "What in the world are you doing driving a car with no brakes?" You go, "Oh, okay." And you take it to the brake shop and they tell you you got no brake shoes and or pads, and then they replace them. That's how that works.
And it costs a lot more at that point
when
you're worn it down.
Because now you got to turn your rotors and all that fun stuff instead of just doing a pad slap, you know.
And that's what you're doing with the biannual maintenance. Mm-hmm. That $100 or less that you're going to spend once or twice a year is a lot less than a new air conditioning system that I had somebody call me, and he's like, "You know, I got a price for an air conditioning system that was $15,000, and I was floored." I'm like, "And that's pretty cheap, actually."
It's not a bad price. You didn't go to one.
I wouldn't say cheap. That's pretty good.
That is reasonable, depending on the hearing.
The word I'm looking for.
Yes, but absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And you can do a capacitor instead of a motor. You run a motor with a bad capacitor for you, you just kill the motor. You overheated it every time you ran it, and then finally it just died. Instead of having the thing checked, "Oh, here, we'll do a capacitor and save you, you know, $600 motor." So.
And having a good, clean running unit is going to help with your bills and your utility bills, and you know that that investment is you're actually has a return on investment.
Oh, absolutely. And we, you know this, we just started doing duct cleaning for exactly that reason. We just, I was against it for years and years and years because it can be a complete ripoff. It can be absolutely unnecessary, and you go in there and you do a bunch of money, you charge a whole bunch of lot, and nobody gets anything for it except you got some money. And that isn't right. So we're really conservative about the ducts that we offer to clean. But we got the machine, we went to Texas and took the classes, and so now we're doing it. But we don't tell everybody, hey, you need your ducts cleaned, because they don't. It's just that simple. When you need it, you can say, hey, look, and we'll show people, look at this. Here's the problem. We can fix it with our stuff. Or, gee, you know what? You don't have a problem.
And in a lot of cases, it's not the internal unit of the ducting. It's the coils and the unit itself that needs cleaning, not always the ductwork.
And that's a decision you make when you go up there and look at. When you have the thing serviced, that's what you see. You pop the side of the deal open, you look, and you see the condition of the coil, you see the condition of the blower wheel, if it's all dusty and cruddy. And if it is, you know, then you say, hey, we need to take care of this. How far would you like us to go? We provide information and let the client make the decision. And our clients are a pretty smart bunch. I don't have a lot of dummies in my crowd. Well, on the customer side.
Right.
On my side, there's a question mark, but we can work through that. But the point is that we provide information to the client. We show them eyes on. Here's what we're looking at. We take pictures, or we'll say, I've got clients that come up in the attic. I've got one of my clients is in his 80s, comes up in the attic with me to look at stuff. We sit there and chat while I'm cleaning his furnace. It's just ridiculous. But he's still healthy and happy, and he's happy to do it. But stuff like that where people see what's going on and we show them, here are your options. This is the problem. Here's what you can do to fix it.
So now that y'all have duct cleaning and added to your service, I'm sure you're paying a lot more attention to a lot of the quote-unquote purifiers that are coming on market. What's your opinion on these in-line system cleaners?
There's a lot of really good ones out there that do the job. We like one that is low maintenance. Actually, it's no maintenance. I'm not a real fan of the UV types because those are tubes that have to be changed every couple of 3 years. And that really gets old in a hurry. People don't want to be, you know, spending, you know, a couple hundred dollars every 2 or 3 years on bulbs if they don't have to. And the one that we like is self-cleaning and does all the other stuff. It kills the VOCs, which is volatile organic compounds, by injecting positive and negative ions into the air, and that breaks up the connection with all that stuff, and it falls apart into its basic elements and dies. And it also takes particulates out of the air by taking the magnetic charge, if you want to use that term. Magnetic charge is totally wrong, but it gets the idea across. But these things bond together because they're positive and negative charges, and they attract each other. What the ion generators do is they put positive and negative ions in the air, and they cluster around these things and break them up. And so by the time you're all done, you have a filter where in your ceiling, you know, where you have your, where you change your air filter normally. That filter takes out particles or particulates, if you want to say, this dust, animal fur, you know, bug wings, you know, whatever you have floating around in your air.
And these air purifiers don't negate the need to change
the
air filters.
No. What they do is they purify, they de-germ the air and make the air less eager to hold on to particulates floating around, and much less likely to have, if you look out your window in the morning when you're having your coffee, you see a lot of floaties in the air, you need an ion generator in your air purifier.
This takes care of the floaties.
I'm going to try and say that again. An ion generator type air purifier. Beep, beep. Oh, sorry. English is a second language for me. I butcher it every time I try it. So there you go. Anyway, that's the deal. It's very, it's a very good idea to have an air purifier and a particulate remover. In Arizona, the biggest problem we have is almost every air conditioner in every house has too small return. The systems are being strangled routinely. They put them in and they use that 400 square foot per ton, and then they figure 144 square inches per ton of air filter face, and then they put a 14 inch return pipe on it, which isn't enough for a 4 or 5 ton to breathe. And so you've got this reasonably sized air filter, but you're not getting it through big enough ductwork, or you've got big enough ductwork and not enough filter face. And so we go in there, put an extra return in there, and all of a sudden the air conditioner works like holy cow. And it's just amazing the difference that makes to get the static pressure in the system down. Static pressure is like the difference between how much resistance it is to pull the air through the filter and how much resistance at the registers to blow it back out into the house. If that static is high, the air conditioner is working itself to death and not making much happen. If the pressures are low, if the static pressure is low, it can breathe in and breathe out. And then your air moves through the system faster, easier, it's cleaner, it's more rapidly cooled or heated. It's just the way the system is supposed to work.
And these air purifiers, can they be put in retroactive, or does this come with new unit and equipment?
They're primarily done retro now. When we do an installation, we give people the option of what kind they want. I'm a trained American Standard guy. I know Rosie's a big Train fan. Well, I'm trained American Standard, same thing. And I'm a real believer in them. And they have a system called the AccuClean, which is factory made. And you put that in when you install the Train system or the American Standard system. And it's in part of the 10-year all-parts warranty. So that includes the thermostat and the air filter and whatever else you put in. American Standard is really good about their warranties with those. And so, yeah, that system is pretty big and requires maintenance. The reason I like the ones we do is because they don't require maintenance.
And that's exactly why we have our weekly to-do, is to reduce the maintenance that we have in our home by taking care of things as they come up. And this week, it is all about surviving the cold, making sure that you're equipped and you're ready. You've tested your carbon monoxide testers. Yeah. If you've got gas in the home, you've had a certified HVAC contractor out, one that's Rosie on the House certified.
Yes, and we are Knight Air Conditioning, Rosie on the House certified, 602.
Charter member.
Yes, that's true. I've been around a long time, haven't I? 602-440-4000. 440-4000. And that's the number that we try to make the number easy to read. We still got an original number for all my friends and family out there that remember the original one. 602-440-4000 is the easy to remember number. That's the one that's smeared on the side of our trucks now.
And one more topic that's been in the news a lot, and it's in a lot of advertisements, is this R22 conversation. And it's the refrigerant. It's like the Freon for your air conditioning system.
Yes, the older systems.
We go get antifreeze for our cars. This is like the antifreeze for our HVAC system. Do people not know you're on the air? Are they
not
calling to say, hey, Chuck,
apparently
I'm listening to you?
Turn the darn thing down and call it a day. So my public awaits. It's okay. Sorry. Anyway, this is from a national publication called the HVAC R Contractors News Magazine, and it's called The News. And it says, using or abusing the R22 phase-out as a sales tool. I'm going to read you this first paragraph because you ought to hear it just as it's written. As of January 1, 2020, it will no longer be legal to produce or import virgin R22 in the U.S., but that does not mean the refrigerant will be unavailable, unaffordable, or illegal to use. It just means that after that date, contractors who service R22 systems will have to rely on existing stocks of virgin refrigerant or else use reclaimed refrigerant, both of which should be readily available and affordable for a long time, according to industry experts. Remember, folks, you heard it here.
And I want to expand on that conversation, Chuck. Hang on. We're going to keep you over to the next programming segment.
Okay.